Thank you very much.
I am Matthew Kagan with Bear Communications. Nice to see all of you turning out today. Thank you for coming. I think I need to say that my work on competitive foods and nutrition policy and obesity prevention is funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, also by the California Endowment. And I'll be sharing some results from some California Endowment surveys, as Megan indicated just a second ago. So as we go through today, we're going to be sharing a lot of public opinion research. And I just want to let you know in advance, that comes largely from four surveys, three of which were led by the Pew Charitable Trusts with the support of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And the final one is the California Endowment Survey, which was just released. You may have seen something about it. It's a survey from this month. The data is about 2 weeks old, so you'll never find anything fresher than that. I do want to make clear that that is a California-only survey, so we don't want to necessarily assume that those results would be shared across the country. But I will tell you, when we have compared data on this subject between California-only surveys and national surveys, the differences aren't that great. There are some distinctions, so I wouldn't assume that it's necessarily applicable to the country as a whole, but I wouldn't start by assuming that it isn't either. So when we do opinion surveys, we're a political agency, we do a lot of political work, and one of the questions we ask ourselves when a candidate comes to us or a cause comes to us is the environment generally favorable to you? Now, if it's favorable, that doesn't mean that you're going to win, but it means that the wind is at your back, and it's better to have the wind at your back than in your face. And on school meals, the opinion environment is generally favorable. Early this year, we asked parents across the country, how important is it that school meals meet minimum nutrition standards? And by an overwhelming majority, this is 91%, I think, parents say it is important. Now, we asked California parents after the school lunch standards were implemented. They, of course, went into effect this academic year. You said, do you support the standards that just went into effect? And there's a similarly gaudy majority in support saying, yes, this is a good idea, we should do it. On competitive foods, and then remember the distinction between competitive foods are basically any food served or sold in schools outside the federal school meal program. The opinion environment is not quite as good, but still pretty darn good. We would still characterize this as a favorable opinion environment. Back at the beginning of the year when we said, would you favor rules requiring a la carte lines and vending machines to meet similar nutrition standards? Overwhelmingly, people said yes. When we asked California parents just 2 weeks ago, you know, they said that the new standard should be extended to competitive foods by better than a 2-to-1 majority. Now, one of the things that we hear about both school meal standards and competitive food standards is sort of a big government, you know, this is something government just shouldn't be doing, it's wrong, you know. Certainly, people are less favorable to government regulation and government interference generally than they were 8 years ago. I don't think there's any question about that. Anybody who thinks the opinion environment hasn't changed, you know, I'll go to the mat and say you're wrong on that point. The opinion environment has changed. But this is not the strongest environment. This is not the strongest argument if you're making the case against competitive food standards. We asked the question, this is sort of what we tried to make our typical straight up and down big government argument. We asked people, you know, the federal government in Washington just has no business telling parents what their kids can or can't eat in school. It's just another example of overreach. You know, is that a convincing argument to you? And people pretty much said, you know, meh, these are not really good numbers. We asked about 8 different questions, and this was sort of in the middle of the pack. The strongest argument isn't over whether there should be standards, it's who should be the one applying those standards. When we ask when we set out the message, you know, regulation should really be set by local school districts. They know our students best. If parents want to be involved in this process, they have a much better chance of communicating with a school board than some unelected bureaucrat in Washington. People find that a much more convincing argument. And the convincing counter argument to that is that these standards, both for school meals and for competitive foods, allow flexibility. That these are a basic minimum nutrition standard that every school has to meet. But how they do that is up to them, and they have very wide flexibility to tailor menus to local taste preferences, to local concerns, to what they think children and parents in their community want to eat and like to eat. You know, that's the effective counter-argument against this. So hungry kids, this is what's been in the news lately. Our kids are going to be hungry in the afternoon. This was a story from the LA Times, but it could have been in any paper in the country. Kids need more calories in their school lunches, lawmakers say. This is a real concern. You know, this is not something that we should overlook in parental fears. I think it's particularly strong in competitive foods because people think of that afternoon snack. You know, we had a lot, we conducted many focus groups with parents, and they were thinking especially about extracurricular activities, particularly among parents of high schoolers. They'd say, you know, my son or daughter is 15. Have you seen what a 15-year-old can eat, especially after volleyball practice or after football practice or whatever? This is a real concern out there. It's particularly out there about access to food. When we talk too much about, you know, we shouldn't have vending machines, we shouldn't have school stores or whatever, parents say, my child needs to have access to food. And that's what they're worried about. They're concerned that somehow they're not going to have access to food in the afternoon when they're headed out to practice or whatever. They want healthy food. But we just need to be careful in our messaging when we talk about it, you know, that we're not denying people access to food. I'm sure you've all seen this video that came out of Kansas, the We Are Hungry video, which depicts poor children, literally. I mean, this poor girl, she collapsed. I mean, she fainted dead away. I'm not even sure that she's going to be able to get up. So this is a real concern out there, and I don't want to make fun of it or make light of it, because parents worry about it, and lawmakers worry about it too. This has gotten a lot of press. It's gotten a lot of attention. I want to highlight for you over 1 million YouTube views. That is a lot of YouTube views, and a lot of people have heard this message and are concerned about it. But it's worth noting, when we asked students in California, do we think that calorie limits on school lunches should be repealed, they overwhelmingly said no. Now, this is about the fairest way we could do this question. We bent over backwards to do a fair paired statement test. And the question, we said, well, some people say the new calorie limits are too strict because schools serve lunches that are too small and kids will get hungry in the afternoon. Other people think the new calorie limits are about right because they're based on the best advice from nutrition experts and will keep kids healthy and prevent childhood obesity. So do you think that the calorie limits for school lunches are a good idea and should be continued, or do you think they're a bad idea and should be eliminated? By over a 2-to-1 majority, students said the calorie limits are a good idea and should be continued. So students, at least in California, do not buy this argument that girls are fainting dead away on the volleyball courts because they are so deprived of the calories that they need to get through the day. I think as a communicator, it's critically important to raise those student voices up, because they're very persuasive among policymakers, and right now all that they're hearing is the "we are hungry" side of the story. And there's one other thing. Again, from California, students say school lunches are getting better. This finding, I don't want to say surprised us, because the truth is we had no expectation when we asked this question. After the new school meal standards had been in effect for 2 or 3 months, depending on where you go to school, we asked, you know, based on what you know today, do you think the lunches provided in the school cafeteria are getting worse, getting better, or are they about the same as they were in the past? Among students with an opinion who think that they changed, by better than 3-to-1 ratio, students think the meals are getting better. So when I look at these data, and I look at what students are telling us, again, you know, I want to be clear, in California, maybe different than the rest of the country, but what students are telling us in California is they like the new meals more. They think the calorie limits are appropriate, and they do not want to go back. They do not want to go backward. And that's a message that all of us need to do a better job or start to do a job of getting out. So I've talked about some of the data, and now I just want to walk you through what some of the messages that we have found are most effective through all of this research, the surveys and the focus groups. The first is that healthier foods in schools mean healthier kids. It's so simple, we sometimes forget it as health advocates. We want to skip over and go to other things. This is our best argument. This is the number one motivating argument for why we need standards on competitive foods, why we need standards on school lunches. It's more important than anything else. It's the most persuasive message among liberals, conservatives, independents, middle-of-the-roaders, Republicans, Democrats, north, south, east, and west. Any way you want to slice it, this is our leading message. Second, that schools can do it. This is really important for policymakers to hear. Schools are overburdened. We're in an era of budget cutting, not of budget expanding, and that's not going to change in the near future. Policymakers in particular need to be reassured that these are standards that can reasonably be met. You know, we're not asking schools to do something that's impossible. And the best way to do that is to provide examples of districts that have done it successfully. Third is the link between good nutrition and academic success, supported by a robust body of evidence. Fourth is the choices and flexibility, what I talked about earlier, that schools have wide latitude in interpreting how they implement these new standards. And these are just a basic minimum, a floor that everybody has to meet, but how they meet it is up to them, and there's very wide flexibility in determining that. And fifth is that nutrition standards can help prevent childhood obesity. Childhood obesity is still a particularly resonant issue among parents and policymakers, and the idea that good nutrition standards can prevent childhood obesity are particularly important. A couple of other findings that I just wanted to point out that didn't neatly fit into any category, so they just fit into other findings. When it comes to messengers, who do we want to deliver this message? Pediatricians and nutrition experts, not celebrities. Not food companies. A lot of food companies support nutrition standards for competitive foods. People think that if food companies support the standards, then there must be something that's not quite kosher with them. Pediatricians and nutrition experts are our best messengers. Values trumps economics. People believe very strongly schools should not be in the business of selling junk food to kids. As a principle, people support that in a deep and personal way. Even if that means, you know, the band might have trouble affording new uniforms because they depend on that cash flow. That's a problem, and people are concerned about that. But that doesn't trump the basic value that schools shouldn't be serving junk food to kids. When there is a conflict, values beats economics. Military readiness is not our best message. This is something that's come out lately, that the childhood obesity epidemic is a national security concern because the armed services aren't finding enough qualified recruits. This is a concern among people, pales in comparison to some of the others that I've described. Parental school lunch memories remain powerful. This is a bit of a personal observation that's come out of some of the focus groups. When we talk with parents and they describe what's happening with school lunches today, they're often not describing what's happening in school lunches today. They're talking about what's happening when they were in school. I'll just sort of share one personal story from a focus group we did with California Endowment in San Diego. The parents said there are no fresh fruits and vegetables in San Diego schools, which is strange because there is a salad bar in every single San Diego school 5 days a week. It's actually one of the best big school districts you can find. And as it turns out, this parent, of course, hadn't been in a San Diego school in about 15 years. They were describing their experience in San Diego High when he was a student. And that's pretty common. So when parents talk about their own experiences, don't be so sure they're talking about the present. They might be talking about the way distant past. No surprise to parents in the room, parents and students sometimes view priorities differently. All the messages that I just described, those are messages that work particularly well with adults. Children have a different set of priorities. They want food that tastes good. Their number one concern by far is taste. They want lots of choices. Students like choices. Adults like choices, too, by the way. That's a key finding in all the food marketing that's been done. Students want fresh food. And in this context, sort of fresh means unprocessed. They want food that they perceive to be fresh. There's a lot of calls for local food or fresh food. It's all under this general rubric of, you know, food that seems fresh and current to them. They want it to look good, which is very, very much related. The mystery meat, you know, the image of the soulless school food worker who slops something down on your plate, who knows what it is, that really grosses students out no matter what it is or how it tastes. And they want familiar food. This is something that a lot of school districts run into trouble when they revamp their menus around foods that students don't know. Students want food that they know, that they identify as something that they might eat at home in their communities. Too much change too fast can really turn students off. So those are our findings from research, and welcome any questions when we get to that point in the program. And I made it on time, see? Just like I promised.